Well, greetings to everyone. I hope everyone has arrived here with the idea of rejoicing before God at this Feast of Tabernacles with your physical family and your spiritual family. In the case if you don't have any real close physical family, we have a very large group of spiritual family that we can worship with. Now that is the title to my message. It's kind of long, isn't it? Rejoice before God at the Feast of Tabernacles with your spiritual and your physical family. So you can just write rejoice and that'll do it and we'll move on. But we get to take a break every year from the world. Mr. Andy Lee just gave a message. The world's a stressful place in a lot of times, but we get to take a break. And God commands us to come and take a break. And we take that break realizing that this is representing the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when Satan will be done away with. Satan will not be there. He won't be sent completely away at that point, but he will be out of the way. So he will not be there to cause us problems, to get in our way, to try to trip us as he does in this world today. So I hope we're all here ready to rejoice before God. Those that are streaming the service, I hope that you are able to rejoice in this Feast of Tabernacles as well. That you're able to, and we've, in my message today, I've got some points that don't necessarily include you being right here. So I hope everyone's able to rejoice. I want to start in Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. And I'm going to go down to verse 5 to begin, where he says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go." Verse 6. "There you shall take your burnt offerings and your sacrifice, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, the firstborn of your herds and flocks." Verse 7, "And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households." As we say, we have a spiritual household here. Oh, together in Panama City Beach this year. And it is a varied household indeed. I've got some grandchildren myself. Matter of fact, I've got one more grandson who could be here any day now. And hopefully he will, my daughter was unable to go to the feast because he's too late in her term to be traveling great distances, so she's waiting. Hopefully, we'll be able to get there after the feast to have my grandson born. I've got one grandson already, and I've got three granddaughters. And the granddaughters, they're all special because they're fun to just dote on. And it's like the younger ones, I'll get down on the floor and play with them. And they tell me I'm doing it wrong. So you show me what I'm doing it right. They also don't have a lot of filters. So they'll say, "Why is your hands all wrinkly? Why do you have these marks on your face?" Well, it comes with age. Comes with age. That's how it goes. And Deuteronomy 14. Verse we're all real familiar with, Deuteronomy 14, going down to verse 24. We're told to take our flocks, and then verse 24 says, "But if the journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. And once again, it says you and your household. There's a lot of things that we pass on to our family, mentioning my granddaughters, and that we pass on sort of an example to them in a lot of ways. And having grandchildren is really very much blessed, because when I was raising my own kids, I have two kids, a daughter and a son, and when you're raising those, it's once again reflect back to Mr. Lee's message, and it's stressful. You're trying not to mess up with your kids, and then you also got to provide for them and deal with them when they get sick. And you don't have all those things when you have grandkids. Like I say, I can just get on the floor and play with them, and I don't really have to particularly correct them for the most part. And I'll go on to say most of mine, or all of my grandchildren, seem to be very well behaved, so I don't even really have to consider that point. But we have that physical family. And as in also in Galatians 6 and verse 10, once again, we see this aspect of a household, of us and our household. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Jacob Mammon's message yesterday talked about that aspect of these individuals here that are around us are of our household of faith. They're of our household well, but it's that spiritual household. We will, and we probably already have, I know we have, because my first point is about that. We have this opportunity here. We've already started to rejoice during this Feast of Tabernacles with God's messages, with the activities. As Mr. Preston has mentioned, we've got gorgeous weather. Forecast is for gorgeous weather the whole time we're here. So we've got this beautiful beach that we can go out and frolic on the beach or play on the beach and all the little activities around. The Edgewater especially has a whole bunch of big swimming pools. We can do that sort of thing outside. We have the activities, we got the dance, and we've got family days, and we've got delicious foods. And I have always enjoyed eating. It's a wonder I'm not much bigger than I am. I do like to eat. Now, I'm not as bad. I did have a brother-in-law who was a little bitty thing, and he could just put away enormous amounts of food. And I'm like, how on earth do you not gain weight doing that? But from the very first, back when I was a teenager in the 70s, first few feasts, we went to St. Petersburg, Florida for the feast. And to shock and awe all of our young adults and whatever, back then you could drink at 18. And it was legal to drink at 18. No longer is, pretty much anywhere. But we're traveling down there, and I remember it. It's in a vague manner. It was a billboard for a restaurant in that area down there. I think it was actually over in Tampa. Restaurant called Brewmasters. I Googled it. See, there's Brewmasters, but this one's no longer in business. But this restaurant called Brewmaster. And it said, the tagline was, good steak, good cheer, free wine, free beer. That caught my attention. I mean, you kind of watch that billboard until you can't see it anymore. Right now, where is this place at where they will give us free wine and free beer? And I'm sure, it's been so long ago, unless you think that I drank excessively. No, I did not. But just the idea that you could get something for nothing, I guess, as much as anything, especially, like I said, being able to enjoy a nice beer was was exciting. That was like, that's very tempting in from our time. So back then we, you know, sort of focused on food, you know, sort of focused on young ladies. The way we went to oppress the young ladies though was playing on the beach, throwing footballs at ourselves, you know, and grinding each other's face in the sand. And I'm sure that all the young ladies thought, what is wrong with those boys? That they don't understand, they don't, that is not what they were looking do themselves, not wanting to join in on that sort of thing. But we do have this aspect then, if we're able to come before God and enjoy really good food. And that's more what we kind of think of now is like, okay, I want a steak, but I want a really good steak. And that's kind of we get that question a lot, or really good fish. You know, that's, we get that a lot at the information table. Where's the really good place? And I can tell you some places. I won't do it up here for the sake of naming one place over another or whatever. But Romans chapter 14. And going down to verse 17. Just wanted to, this kind of leads into my points for my message here. Romans 14, verse 17. We're told, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we do come here to enjoy good meals and good fellowship with our spiritual brethren. Have some good conversations and some good fellowship with each other. But there are some points that we need to kind of keep in mind in our way of rejoicing while we're at the Feast of Tabernacles. So point one is rejoice by praising God with our spiritual family at the feast. We've already been praising God several times at this very feast. We praise Him by singing psalms at each service. This is especially important to some of us. We have small congregations back where we're in our local congregations. And we sing, and you know, and I sing out, my son sort of takes me to task with some of that, but I enjoy the just being able to sing, you know, out clearly in our congregation. But the congregations are small, and you don't have a big volume, so it's wonderful to come here to Panama City Beach and just hear the psalms being sang by all of the brethren here. And if you're like me, and you like to sing out, because it blends in. You know, go ahead. You don't have to hold back. You can sing out, and we hope that everyone will and enjoy and praise God and rejoice in that way before God. We're all familiar with Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, where it talks about coming before God's presence with thanksgiving and shouting joyfully to Him with psalms. We will look at Psalms 5, or Psalm 5, and just one verse here, verse 11. It says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. So there's an aspect of rejoicing. And if you're rejoicing, then you are cheerful and you are singing praises to God and feeling it. You music will occasionally move us. Especially a lot of times we get to that last great day and the services are closing, you know. And I know I've looked at my daughter with tears streaming down her face as we're singing that final song of the day, and the music just kind of brings out the emotions for us. We encourage each other in our spiritual family by the way we express our praise to God here in each other's presence. Colossians chapter 3. We are encouraged to do this very thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And verse 17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're to admonish each other. Just a few pages over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. God wants us to rejoice. If we are rejoicing before God as his feast, then certainly we are cheerful. As I can say, we've been able to come out of the world. James chapter 5. We usually go to James chapter 5 for aspect of healing, but James chapter 5 and verse 13. The last half of the verse says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. When God restores Israel, as these millennial times, this millennial reign of Jesus Christ and this Feast of Tabernacles pictures for the world, when Israel is restored, that they will be praise to God. Jeremiah 33 and verse 9 says, people from other nations will praise it when they hear about the good things I am doing for Jerusalem. So we need to be rejoicing at the feast here as we come before God in our song service. While we're here at the feast too, we need to remember why we're here and thank God for our blessings that allowed us to be called at this time. So we're to rejoice by expressing thankfulness to God with our physical and spiritual family here at the feast. We can show praise and rejoice thankfulness to God for knowledge of this Feast of Tabernacles. God has commanded us to observe this feast, as we've read, with our household, with our families. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Mr. Gary Beam said yesterday we would probably be using a lot of the same scriptures. Going down to verse 39 in Leviticus 23. This is also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of your land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. We'll skip down to verse 42. It says, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. So we're to leave our homes. Once again, as I started, we're going to take a little break from the world that is a stressful place anymore. We get to take a break. And we go and we dwell in temporary dwellings, in booths, we are told. It says, all who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. Why? That's a whole sermon. Why we do that? But verse 43 sums it up, says that your generation may know that I have made the children of Israel dwell in booths. So it's to bring to remembrance that God is our support, that God does bolster us up, that he protects us in that world that we're getting away from. We take this week to remember that we are been called out. We are called out of this world and to actually physically come out of the world for a little bit and just give God thankfulness that he has given us that. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Going down to verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Hopefully we do express love, that we do, as we say, we get away from the stresses of the world, we are able to show love maybe more openly, more genuinely to our physical and spiritual family that is gathered here together observing God's Feast of Tabernacles. And we've also already heard that there's to be peace. So verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are to exude thankfulness toward our Father because he has chosen us and called us out of the world as part of the first fruits of the kingdom. And we show that thankfulness by being worthy that God has called us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just be a couple of pages over in most of our Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, going down to verse 11. It says, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So that aspect of family, of being parents and children and being that example to our children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we're to be thankful that God has chosen us out of this world at this point in time to walk worthy before God here at his Feast of Tabernacles and be thankful for that aspect of it. Point three, then, is we need to rejoice with humility. Almost oxymoron in there. You're rejoicing, but you're humble. Because, you know, some of the aspects of humble mean you're like sad. You're not really in a rejoiceful mood. But we want to rejoice before God with humility with our physical and spiritual families. A magnificent way to rejoice with our family during this Feast of Tabernacles is to ignore that pull of Satan. As we said, we get away from the world, but we know Satan's still there, and Satan still wants to destroy God's family. But we can get to ignore that and embrace God's divine nature while we're here at the feast. Showing humility before God is a way of picturing the future that we are looking for in this Feast of Tabernacles, the future of those who are born into God's family, that will be free from the pulls of Satan, will be free then from that, what we call human nature, that aspect to do the wrong thing, even when you know it's the wrong thing, because Satan will be removed during the millennium and not able to influence mankind's actions and decisions. Isaiah 29. And just one verse here, Isaiah 29, in verse 19. It says, the humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. We're told in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Well, what is trembling in this aspect? If it's not humility, you're going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice before God with humility, with realizing your place in this work, that we've been called out of the world. The NIV phrases it, celebrate his rule with trembling. New American Bible says to exult with trembling. So exulting with humility. I can say almost an oxymoron there. You're going to exult, but you're going to be humble about it. Because life that we are living before God is not like the on-hold music when you're waiting to talk to the company that's put you on hold. Life before God is the equivalent to a roaring symphony, an exhilarating performance before God of holiness. We won't go there. We have to throw in Isaiah 66, where it says, but on this one will I look, one of who is poor and a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. God loves that man is able to be humble before him and to give him the authority. James chapter 6. What does it say? No, James chapter 4 and verse 6. That'll be closer to what I want to read. James chapter 4, beginning of verse 6, says, but he gives more grace, therefore God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if we're able to humble ourselves, God will humble us. Will raise us up. We will be an example to the world. In Isaiah 53, go to Isaiah 53 and just point out what a tremendous example of humility was shown by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we go through this every Passover season. Verse 3, Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We're to come before God and rejoice because we've been chosen. We have that humility that God wants to see in each one of us. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, going down to verse 21, Joel chapter 2, verse 21 says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. We come before God at this Feast of Tabernacles, and we get a foretaste of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. At that time, the entire world will finally experience righteousness and peace and true rejoicing. I want to go to Isaiah 25. Go to Isaiah one more time. Isaiah chapter 25. Beginning of verse 6, it says, and in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the leaves. We have that opportunity to enjoy the good things that life can bring during this time. Verse 7, it says, and he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people. Understand, he's going to remove Satan's veil that he's put over everybody and the veil that is spread over all nations. And then in verse 8, and he will swallow up death forever. Death will end when the millennium arrives. We'll be through with people getting old and dying at that point in time. It says, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. And it ends by saying, for the Lord has spoken. And then verse 9, in closing, it says, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. And it goes to say, we have waited. So it says it twice. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation.